Blog Talk Radio.
Morning and welcome to this week's segment of A Live Without Limits. Today's show is titled, What Doesn't Kill Us Makes Us Stronger. And the reason we're talking about this is that we want to help people understand how they can build a successful business in today's marketplace. Okay. At this point, we can't rule out malignancy, the doctor said. I just looked at my husband. I knew he was asking the doctor questions, but I didn't hear any words. I saw his lips moving and felt his strong hand on top of mine. But all I could think was, I needed to wake up. This is not happening. I know I am just having a bad dream. It wasn't until I was in the front seat of our car that I realized it wasn't a dream. Are we going home? I asked. No, my husband said. We are going to get you an ultrasound and more x-rays. Oh, I replied. It didn't really matter where we were going because all I could think of at the moment were the three beautiful children my husband and I have been blessed with. First, my thoughts went to Michaela, who was 10 years old at the time. Without me, who would she talk to about boys? Who would show her how to put on makeup and help her pick out of college? But the most painful thought was, who would comfort her in her loss? For the past 3 years, Michaela has accompanied me on the Race for the Cure breast cancer walk. She is well aware of the horrors of treatment. She often commented about people walking in honor of a loved one. For her, I knew there would be no sugarcoating the truth. Then my thoughts shifted to Connor, my 8-year-old son at the time, an amazing baseball player who plays a cool with his dad and friends. He is undeniably sweet boy who always writes a special card for me on Mother's Day. What would he do next May? Would he pretend to write a card, not telling his teacher that he had no one to give it to? Suddenly, I felt like growing up. I asked my husband to pull over. Once back in the car, all I could think about was Delaney, who was our 4-year-old princess at the time. She is so used to having both my husband and me tuckle in at night. She wakes up each morning with a smile on her face and kisses to say, have I made enough of an impact on her that in 10, 12, 15 years from now, she will remember me? Over the following 3 weeks, I was poked, prodded, and sliced. On the 22nd day, I found out that I did not have breast cancer. You would think that I would be so happy that I could not wait to get back to my normal routine. But no, something happened. Going through the breast cancer scare changed my life in many ways. You see, I've always wanted to start my own business, a business that would empower the working man, a business that would provide the tools for every working mom to lead a healthier, wealthier, and more balanced life. It is my belief that working moms have more influence on what our world will look like than any other single group of people. Plus, they have the responsibility to match. I even purchased the URL for my new business back in July of 2007, but I already had a job, and not just any job. I had one of the best jobs in the world. After all, I was publisher and CEO of Early to Rise, so I kept saying, someday I will start the new business. I'm not sure what kept holding me back before the cancer scare. I think the fact that I loved my job. and that even as a CEO, I was able to enjoy quality time with my husband and three kids. For the attending the baseball games, school plays, and tennis matches, to taking long walks on the beach. When I would speak at conferences, working moms who heard about my career accomplishments and wonderful family life always asked me, "How? How did you do it?" Those moms were always with me, tucked in the back of my brain, not forgotten, but put on hold. Well, hold for Sunday. But after the scare, the need to create this new business and help other working moms have a lifestyle they wanted and deserved was overwhelming. I could not do it. Unlike most working moms, I had developed systems and strategies for leading a complete and fulfilling life. I had escaped the guilt and the feeling of inadequacy. I had raised kids who were strong, confident, and compassionate. And I knew that I could teach any working mom who wanted to make more money to accomplish that as well. So in the worst of recessions in America has ever seen, remember this was the end of 2009 when one of the highest unemployment rates in history, I left the best job I ever had in my 25-year career. 3 months later, working moms only was a reality. What I learned along the way will help you jumpstart any new business. You see, I did not take a dime from any investors, even though the offers were there. My husband and I took $10,000 out of our personal bank account and put the money into our new company. Several of my industry colleagues questioned me about turning down the investors and using my own money. My answer was simple. This was the way we had been teaching ETR readers to start a business, and this was the way I was going to do it. These are the three most valuable lessons I have learned thus far. Less is more. A friend of mine recently left her corporate job to start her own marketing consulting firm. The first thing she did was find office space. I asked her why she was doing it. She told me that with the rest of the real estate market in the dump, space was a bargain. So she was able to rent space for $1,500 a month that normally went for $3,000. But she did not stop there. She bought a desk, chair, filing cabinet, and a couch. She spent $5,000 before she wrote a sales letter or had a website built. After 2 months of trying, she finally landed her first client. That client is paying her $2,000 a month retainer. You do the math. Back in 2009, I have a four-bedroom house and three kids who had their own room. I did not have the library, den, or office. Still, I did not go out and rent space. I converted my rarely used dining room into my office. Heck, we're kitchen people anyway. It overlooks a golf course, and I find it very conducive to writing. When I needed a change of scenery, I would take my laptop and sit out by my pool. I did not buy filing cabinets or print business cards. I had a really good computer, and I understood the value of knowing how to use it and to its fullest. Work on your business every day. When you are starting a brand new business that is going to be your livelihood, there are no weekends. You don't get the day off because it is your wedding anniversary or your kid's birthday. You have to make sacrifices. Now, does that mean I miss Connor's birthday? Of course not. But after he went to bed that night, I worked. I worked until I finished everything I needed to do. Sure, the goal of having your own business is to get it to the point where you are living your desired lifestyle. But this does not happen overnight. You must take your business seriously. For this very reason, I vowed that I would not work in my PJs. I would get up and go to the gym first thing in the morning. I then shower, dress, and dive into my work. I don't stay in bed an extra hour or talk on the phone. I treat my business with respect, as I have always treated someone else's business that I was running. I know far too many entrepreneurs who are still in their pajamas at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. These are the guys who are always asking why they are not doing well as their competitors. Know your market immediately. It's best if you are a member of your target market. This is the road that I have taken. I knew what it was like to be an executive before I had kids, and I have been a working mom for 11 years before I started working mom. Excuse me. Working moms only. I honed the new skills that I needed, even over those 11 years. I am now in the top percentile of highly paid working moms. If you are not personally in your target market, there are several things you can do to get yourself up to speed. Start with these. Study your competition. Understand what they do and figure out how you can do it faster, better, and cheaper. Use Amazon to get insider information about your prospective customers. Read the reviews on products similar to the ones you are thinking of developing. Decide how you can address buyers' concerns and enhance the features and benefits they like. These lessons alone will help you make more money and gain more flexibility in your business. And this is important. Yes, my epiphany spoke to my passion. However, starting and cultivating a profitable business is important, and managing that business while procuring flexibility adds tremendous value to my life. As you can see, all three sides of the triangle, money, passion, flexibility, should be considered in starting and running your business. As your business grows, the priorities will shift. Some days, all three may share an equality. Some days, one or two may take a strong lead. Just like all aspects of your life, your business is continually evolving. And while we're talking about this at this time is because the job market has totally changed. And individuals need to change with it. You need to look for opportunity for employment in places that you don't ordinarily think about. For instance, today the job market is totally changed. And jobs that you perform in an office can easily be performed at home because your computer can link up with the mainframe of the company that you work with. Today, what many companies are doing is they're not increasing the space they have to increase the number of people they have. They're decreasing the space, but they are hiring people. They're supplying them with the equipment and the software is installed so that they can transfer calls through the computer into the individual's home, so all calls are redirected. I remember when I worked in a telemarketing room, and because I have a good speaking voice, I always got jobs on telemarketing. The difference was that because I was not fast at dialing and closing people and getting enough people on the line, I didn't always keep the job. But the fact of the matter is this. A lot of these companies, back even before they started cutting their space, they were already using phone systems where when the call came into a main number, they were redirected into different computers. So this technology was there, and this way, by them cutting the expenses and the space, then they were able to pay more money to the individual. And the thing is that you had to set up your workspace in the home, and for some people, that's easy. I know some people, they would, like in my case, I rather work independently with no one over me, partly because of the way I was raised, partly because of my own personality, because I can motivate myself. So for some people, that's really good. For others, it may not be. But the reason we're talking about what doesn't kill us makes us stronger is because all of us need to learn to take control of our lives instead of letting other people control it. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people, especially the older generation, because they have used low-tech equipment, they can't deal with the high-tech equipment that's out there and how to make it work for them. And, you know, the thing is, when you think about it, yes, when you did low-tech skills, say a speaker, years ago, they had to design brochures. They had to have the brochures printed up. They had to do multiple mailings of the brochure. And all of that was an expense because more times than not, you bought a mailing list from a mailing list company. And because you were only renting it and could only use it one time, because you needed to do multiple mailings to generate income, you couldn't expect to get a good percentage of people responding, because when people get something, guess what? They'll take it and just throw it away. But if they see it more often than not, several times, then the second time they may take a look at it. The third time they'll look at it more detailed. So the more mailings they receive, the more opportunity you have to make an income from it. So this is, it's understanding how you can utilize the technology of what's available out there. And video is a big thing to use. And there are software packages out there where you can create newsletters where you can incorporate video into it. When you are sending an email, you use video in it. What that does is that allows you to make the relationship with the customer more personal because you can customize the video to that individual. And, you know, don't we, years ago, used to go to network meetings where you would meet people and you would shake hands and you would build a relationship with them? Well, by using video, this is another way of building that relationship with them that you wouldn't have. How many times do I get emails that I know they're nothing more than sales letters? I don't even open them up because I know all it is someone trying to sell me their program. And unless it's something that's reasonably priced or unless it's free, I'm not interested because, first of all, every motivational speaker says the same thing. They just have different stories that they're incorporating into the presentation to emphasize what they did. How many people... But years ago, when you think about it, when you went to motivational seminars, you had Zig Ziglar on there, you had Tony Robbins, and what did they do? Every one of them, when they did seminars, they had a company that came and videotaped them and audiotaped them, and then they broke up that presentation into a program that they sold through a company at the back of the room, through other training companies, and this was a great way to do it, but it was a big expense that they put out before they even made a dime. Today, all you need to do is, this is what I'm doing with this program. It's a digital recording, so I can take this program, I can download it to my computer, I can upload it to my website, and I can sell it. Or I can use it as a promo to someone else so that if I'm trying to get on their docket for their programs of speakers, then they can have an example of just how well-spoken I am. So this is a great tool to use whether you're using it in your business. Remember, why did Google buy YouTube from the people who originally developed it? Because they could see the potential of what they could do to make it work. How many people have uploaded videos to YouTube that you can watch Good Morning America, and guess what? They'll promote certain videos that are very popular. How many times have you seen where, like someone like Justin Bieber, he happened to have a video up there, Usher Sport liked what he saw and offered him a contract. So there's so many ways that technology can be used in business today to promote yourself that were not available years ago that helps you promote yourself for pennies on the dollar. It's just a matter of understanding how to utilize and incorporate all of this in your business. The problem is that the older generation, instead of looking for someone else to create a job for them that just literally doesn't exist anymore, how are they going to take those same skills and put it into a job where they could be doing something that they're passionate about? And when you have your business, remember, don't try to wear all the hats, because when you do that, you are going to burn out. So look for options. Look for things that you can do that can help you grow your business and expand it. And we were talking about working moms. Because so many businesses are done from the home today, guess what? It allows someone to have flexible time. The thing is, are you in a position where do you have the stamina to say between this hour and this hour, I'm going to focus in on my job and do what I have to do? Or are you going to let everything there distract you? And if you are someone that's easily distracted, then in a sense, yes, you might need to get office space. But there are executive suites where you can use offices on an as-needed basis and also use it as a mailing address to make it more professional if you do not want to use your home because you're fearful that people may misinterpret it when you give a home address. So look at your options. Learn what's available and understand how you can create things that can help you sell. And remember, writers years ago, what did they do? They had to, when they wrote a book, they had to have it proofread. They had to, the publisher published it. And remember, if you did not have a track record as a writer, you were not going to have your book published and have large numbers of books published because you were not proven that your book would sell. And I attended a presentation by Harvey McKay. And what did Harvey McKay said? He said that when he came out and he wrote the book Swim with the Sharks, and what he did was when he was talking to the publisher, he asked them to publish 10,000 books. They told him they would not publish 10,000 books because he was an unproven writer. The difference was because in his business, he had developed a contact management system of people and contacts and things they liked and things they didn't like, and when they had special events coming up, or when someone had accomplished someone and he knew to keep in touch with them and support them, that he knew that these same people would purchase his book. In fact, he was telling the story how he was on the plane flying into a presentation and he was sitting next to someone that was reading his book. And when he was talking to the guy said, well, I chose this book because it was the smallest book available. But at the same time, think about it. If he hadn't been persistent, if he didn't have proof that he had all of these contacts in these companies that had anywhere from 100 to 1,000 employees that he could that would purchase his book, then how could he not have, or how could he have proven that to print up 10,000 copies of his book would be a profitable venture for the publisher? So think about all the things that you can do. And today what happens is so many people self-publish because if publishers published every book from an unknown writer there was, they would lose money. So their theory is, I'm not going to do anything until it's a proven publisher. So think of all of these things that you can do that can help you grow your business and put it exactly where you want it to be. And think about all the things that you can do that can help you and your business in the future. Because when you grow a business today, it's all based on who you know, who can build your referral business, and how you can connect with people that can help you grow your business. There are so many ways that you can do what you need to do, but you need to be aware of what the ins and outs are and be open to learning. And think about all of the things that you can do that can really put your business up to the next level in today's playing field. And I want to remind you, you can go to my website, and that website is the #1personalcareercoach.com, and you can sign up for individual coaching and group coaching. And think of all of the things that you can choose to do that can help you build a successful business today. And since we're getting down to the last few minutes, what I would also like to remind you is that next week we're going to be discussing the secret of the golden bucket, building financial security. And the reason we're going to be talking about this is today, in today's marketplace, financial security comes from different avenues. And people find it different to live in their within their means and save for the future. So it takes planning. People who are just entering the job market and single don't think to plan. When they get into their 30s, they have growing families, so it's more difficult for them to plan. But as they close in on retirement, then what happens is they're thinking about ways that they can look to grow a business or expand in the other direction. So let's look at what's available to you and think of all the things that you can do that can really help you build a business in today's marketplace. And plan for an avenue that can help you grow in the future.